Welcome to the Brett Boone Podcast. Explore the mind of MLB All-Star, Silver Slugger, and Gold Glove winner, Brett Boone, as he sits down with his friends from the world of professional sports. Now up to bat, Brett Boone.
Had a lot of fun after the show yesterday when we got to record an episode of the Brett Boone Podcast, and we are now joined by Odyssey insider Brett Boone. His shows feature the most notable names in MLB and around sports every week, and us. Insider calls are presented by Grainger. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers the professional-grade products you need delivered when and where you need them. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. And I learned that had Brett Boone not been, you know, from such a legendary baseball family, he might have been a soccer player.
Yes.
When he grew up. He loved soccer growing up.
Got shamed into playing football. Tell us that story again. Let us apologize first for your numbers rapidly declining this week on your podcast. I'm sorry.
Hey, guys, make sure you like, share, and subscribe.
Yes,
that's
please.
All I ask.
That's right.
That's all I ask. That's what my kids tell me to say.
You need to do it. But yeah, you said you loved playing soccer as a kid. You had a great time. And then your friends were like, come on, dude, soccer, come play football. And you didn't really want to play football.
I really didn't. I might even say as a young lad at 8 or 9, I would almost have to put soccer for me playing it above baseball.
It makes sense.
I really enjoyed it. Now watching it, the polar opposite.
Yeah.
I'm not a watcher, but to play the game, it was fun. And you're right. I got shamed into playing football. You know, my buddies were all football players and they kind of looked at me like, oh, your Boone plays soccer. Like, oh, sorry, guys. The next thing you know, I'm playing football, and took me about a year to learn that rap. But I loved it. I loved playing it great as a kid. But nowadays, watching it, not so much. But you know what? I don't like watching anything. I like watching baseball, and I like watching golf. About it.
Did you, when you were a kid, obviously your grandfather was you came from a long line of baseball. Was there ever a thought that you wouldn't play baseball? Like, did it ever hit you? I'm not going to do what these guys did. Or were they tough on you? Was your dad tough on you? Did he push you into baseball? Or was it like, nah, this is what I want to do?
No, dad was tremendous. Never one time did I feel an ounce of pressure to play baseball. I think they were happy.
Yeah.
You know, and I remember seeing an interview when I was a little bit older with my dad saying, you know, we're going to support our kids and whatever they choose to pursue in this world and be as good of parents as we can. And I'm glad that they happened to choose baseball because it makes life easier for me. So, no, sure. I never felt an ounce of pressure. It was kind of from when I can all the way back when I can remember, you know, my grandpa was such a huge, probably my first influence on me as far as baseball went. And, you know, when you're 1 and 2 years old and it's waking Gramps up at 5, putting the catcher's gear on because dad, you know, was a catcher.
Yep.
And that's what I remember. No, there was nothing in my life ever. That I ever even thought about doing other than being a baseball player. And by the way, I would let you know, I was the most naive kid growing up in the history of naivety. I went to high school and I would have the counselor meeting like we all do about going to college and saying, well, Brett, what are you going to study? And I said, I don't really care because I'm going to play in the big leagues for 15 years. And my counselor would smile and say, no, but really, what's your backup plan? I said, I don't have a backup plan. College, same thing. It's like, what do I need to stay on the field? You need a 2.0. Well, then I'll get a 2.0 and we'll live to play another day. But, you know, when you get into it and you play for a while, you learn to appreciate how tough it is to do what you do. And you look at that young kid and think, wow, did I not have a clue? That being said, I think it was a positive for me because I was really unrealistic and didn't know what I was getting into. So that probably helped me on the mental side.
Love that.
Brett Boone with us on our SDCCU fan hotline. It's not Big Bang Banking, it's better. So just looked it up. We are less than a week away from the All-Star game in Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. Grandpa, mm-hmm. 2-time All-Star. Dad, 4-time All-Star. Brother, mm-hmm. 1-time All-Star. And you went 3 times nice. To the All-Star game. What was it like first time, 1998 with the Reds, and then subsequent visits? I mean, how special is it to get the call for the first time?
It's unbelievable. You know, any first that you get in big leagues, It's like, I remember my first day in the big leagues, huge. I remember getting my first invite to camp, to big league spring training. That was huge. And obviously your first All-Star game, first Gold Glove, first anything. It's always, for me at least, it was always like a big, big deal. I remember going to that 98 All-Star game. It was in Colorado, getting the call. And I was kind of like a little kid, you know. It, for most of my life, you know, a lot of the media would always fall back to, well, it's not as big a deal for you because you grew up in the game. And I always looked at them like they had two heads and said, wait a minute. I was a little kid running around with no clue, probably driving the players crazy. I do this for a living now. I'm like every other fresh-faced kid in the big leagues, every other rookie. It's no different. When it turns into it's your occupation, is what you do for a living, all that childhood, that doesn't mean anything. It was just as cool for me to go to an All-Star game as it was for everybody else. And I just remember just soaking it all in. I got there and I'm kind of, you know, kid in a candy shop, and I'm asking the veteran guys, hey, what do I do? Well, put your jersey in the autograph room and put the balls out that you want signed. Oh, that's a good idea. So I was in there, you know, getting my stuff set up, and I wanted to get everything signed, and just kind of walking around, listening to conversations, listening to other players talk. And, you know, I remember seeing there, and I'm sitting there and I'm like, oh, I'm in the same room with Barry Bonds. Yep. And he's holding court, talking about stuff I can't fathom, about catching the ball with a butterfly net. And I'm like, Barry, whatever, you know, but it's cool that I'm actually in the room listening to these conversations. So it was very humbling, and it was awesome. And that's why today I watch the games, and it's so cool. I don't understand the players you see today that, oh, it's the All-Star game. Yeah, I'm not going to go. You know, yeah. I got a little bit of a toe issue. It's like, wow. Just really, really relish these times, because it's taken away from me before you know it. Part of that naivety for me, I thought I was going to play forever. I thought my whole life I'm going to be, you know, 50 years old, and I'm still be playing in the big leagues because that's what I do. And it's so short. It goes by so fast. I'm glad that I just really soaked in every award or event that I got to go to, because it was special. And if you're a 10-time All-Star, that 10th time, man, you should enjoy it as much as you did the first, because it's fleeting.
Yeah, but that 7th time that you make it and you're like, oh my God, we're in it. I need a break. You can't, though. Like, you can't. I'm with you. I kind of feel the same way, too. Like, looking that gift in the face and saying, nah, my toe hurts. I can't play or whatever it is. I do think that's kind of a bummer, because it is, you know, it's a fan exhibition. And what did you think when they used to have it mean something, when it was like for home field advantage and stuff? Did you hate that?
Well, the old school guys, I loved it, because like Pete's running the catcher over in the All-Star game. He's not thinking about anything else.
Shoot, that was before. That was before it mattered.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
It didn't mean anything, you know, from a home field advantage. It meant something personal to those guys in the National League, and personal to those guys. That's the baseball I love. I mean, run over the catcher, just kill each other to win. I love that mentality. Now, it's not realistic in 2026, but I just, when it got to a point where it was the home field advantage, I didn't think that was right.
Right.
I didn't think that was right, because like you said, there's some guys banged up. There's some guys that, hey, I can't pitch today because I pitched the last game before the All-Star game. What the All-Star game is, and players will tell you this, it wasn't important that I went out there and got a hit or that we won. Of course, we play every game to win. You want to win? I want to win the wiffle ball game in the backyard with my kids. That's important to me, but it's not the end all be all. What's important is being healthy for your team, helping your team win games to go towards getting to the playoffs. That was the most important part. But when you're playing an All-Star game, believe me, I don't want to get embarrassed. I want to get three hits every day, every time I go on the field, but that wasn't the most important thing. If I were there, got to be recognized, got in the game, got an AB, of course I want to get a hit. But if I didn't, I wasn't going to lose sleep over it like I do with my regular team trying to win games time in. So I thought the home field advantage was a little hokey. It's like, this shouldn't, the best teams that have the best record, that's what gets home field advantage, not one All-Star game where you're putting it into the hands of people that really, as a collective, we only play one game together. Right. So I thought that was a little silly, and that was a little bit of gimmicky for me. So I'm glad that's gone.
Yesterday we saw Ryan O'Hearn hit 3 home runs and drive in 10 in a game. Didn't you do a 3 home run? I feel like you had one with the Padres that year.
Ben, I did it twice.
Twice.
Whoa. Yes.
3 homer game. That's quite the day in Major League Baseball, isn't it?
It's unbelievable. I mean, you're walking on the clouds when you hit 2, but when you hit 3, it's like, whoa. I don't know if you can talk to me after the game. I'm that cool.
Do you feel locked in?
Locked in. But let alone 4. You know, I couldn't even imagine what 4 would be. I was in a game with Mike Cameron, and he hit 4. And I hit 2 that game, and I was chopped liver. Nobody wanted to talk to me after the game. Nobody wanted to talk. I'm like, what about me?
I remember that.
I hit 2 homers.
Against the White Sox.
And Cammy's just walking around with 4 home runs in his quiver. And his fifth at bat, he hit one to the wall.
Oh, my God.
Track. And I'm going, I couldn't even imagine. Like I said, 2's an unbelievable day. 3, oh, you're in rarefied air. 4, I couldn't even imagine. And that's why I think, I don't know, 17 people in the history of the world have ever hit 4 in a game. But yeah, pretty special. Drive in 10 runs, once again, something I've never witnessed. I think the most I ever drove in was 7. But to drive in 10 and hit 3 home runs, it's like I said, he's probably he can't really talk to anybody for a couple of days because he's that cool.
That's a good week.
That's a great week, man. 3 bombs and 10 stakes in a week.
It's a good 2. It's a good 2 weeks.
Yes. Yeah. On this team, it's a good month. He had a great month. Drove in 10 this month and hit 3 bombs. Nice to get a win last night, Booney. I think the collective, I think the locker room needed it, man. You could see them before the game. They looked, honestly, like they did an interview with Jackson Merrill, and that dude looked tired, man. For a 23-year-old, he looked kind of worn out. You could tell losing 8, what was it, 8 out of 9, 9 out of 10, had right. really started to eat their soul away a little bit. And he said to the fan base, you know, we need you guys to get behind us and support us. And look, yeah, I mean, that's what a fan base is and should do. But also, it was some really uninspiring baseball to that point.
Yeah, you've got to earn that. You know, we all know it. As a player, I don't want your charity. You know, I want to earn your cheers during the game. And sometimes this game is cruel. I mean, it's 162, and you get paid a lot of money to do what you do. So you got to be ready for that heavy critique when things don't go well, especially when you have you look up and down that roster and you have the guys, especially on the offensive side, that are more than capable of doing it. When you're not showing up, when you're not getting it done, it's a beast. That's a part of the beast. They're going to come out and they're not going to be happy with you, and rightfully so. So I think the guys, when you care that much, and believe me, sometimes, you know, fans will watch these players play and, oh, they look like they don't even care. I've met very few guys that don't really care when things are going tough. Now, we don't want to let everybody know that we're licking our wounds and we're woe is me. But believe me, guys care a lot more than the picture they give you out there. So yeah, I'm sure it's eating these guys alive. There were high expectations going into the year, coming off the last 2 or 3 years, the way San Diego's just rallied around this team. Where, man, it's an event, it's a thing now to go to a Padres game. Where 10, 15 years ago, it wasn't a thing. So there's high expectations. With expectations come sometimes disappointment and sometimes a lot of enjoyment, but you got to fight through it. They're 4.5 games out of the wild card. We've talked many times. They're not going to win this division. The Dodgers are one of the few teams that going into the season, we look at the Dodgers now with 60 wins. Go, yeah, that's what we expect out of them.
Right.
Everything else has kind of been up in the air, but you've got 3 weeks to prove to this ownership that it's worth sticking this out with. But, you know, I look up and down the roster, man, it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough with this starting pitching staff, keeping it together. Buehler's done a great job, but his last 2 starts have been really rocky. You know, you got Canning, you got Vasquez back. Marquez pitched a great game last night. King at the top of the rotation. But the Pivetta, the Musgrove not coming back and really not knowing a true time where they're going to come back, it's going to be about as big a challenge as possible in these next 3 weeks to convince the ownership that, hey, we want to add to this roster and not subtract. So they got their work cut out for them. Being here in San Diego, I have a little personal engagement with the Padres. I hope they do well, but it's definitely going to be uphill at this point to be that buyer at the deadline.
And to be honest, and we'll talk about it in our next hour, I'm not sure which team in the wild card they're going to catch. Cubs, Phillies, Marlins are playing great, not slowing down. So that's a concern as well. Boney, we'll talk about it with you. Really appreciate it. You're the host of the Brett Boone Podcast. Look for this week's episode with Ben and Woods and Paul on the Odyssey app. Download it anytime. Thank you, Boone.
You got it, guys. Thank you.